Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to serve you and mankind. Lord, help us to stay strong during these trying times. Keep us focused and thankful for all the positive things you have provided for us. Dear Lord, we ask that you give this government body the wisdom to make the right decisions that will benefit the majority. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today with items under purchasing. Item A is consider an approval award, execute, receive, and file a contract for emergency disaster assistance recovery for Jefferson County with DRC Emergency Services, LLC. Item B is consider an approval award, execute, receive, and file acceptance of an offer for a term contract for HVAC maintenance, repair, and emergency services for Ford Park with industrial, commercial, mechanical, as shown on attachment A. Item C is consider an approved execute, receive, and file a renewal for cafeteria services for Jefferson County with Collins Kitchen, LLC for an additional one-year renewal from January 21st, 2016 to January 20th, 2017. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously. Under County Auditor, item A is regular county bills, check number 416033 through 416223. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Sinegal.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Under County Clerk, we have one item to consider and approve the county judge to execute the contract agreement with the Holiday Inn for the banquet training session to be held in honor of Volunteers for Democracy Day on February 7, 2016. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Sinegal. Discussion?
Judge, Commissioners, I've got a couple of questions for the County Clerk. If you could you explain to the court the funding mechanism for this? What kind of training does this entail and the purpose?
Sure.
And the cost.
During the governor's year of elections or the president year of elections, which is every other year, when we pay tribute to our election workers, and during the time of Volunteer for Democracy Day, we always hold a banquet training session. It is the same training that they would get at the election barn, which is how to manage on election day and early voting period. So we do training in conjunction with a banquet to also pay tribute to them as per the legislation for the Senate bill because of the work they do and the time that they invest into our election process. It is funded through the contracted services budget, and that budget comes from us doing political subdivision elections, and the cost comes from the administration fee that we charge the political subdivisions. And I have checked with Fran about the availability of the money. It is there. And the cost, it's going to entail inviting 400 election workers, which includes our early voting workers, our election day workers, our early voting ballot board workers, as well as some of the extended guests, such as the party chairs, commissioners court, and some of the tax offices, with tax office with voter registration. And it's a total of 400 people that will be attending this banquet training session. And the cost is a little bit over $8,000.
And how long does the training last?
The training itself is about an hour to hour and a half. And then the banquet lasts from about 1:30 to about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And we've committed to try to get them out of there for Super Bowl Sunday.
Fran, is this out of her regular budget, or is this a special account? Or it's not really out of her operating budget? Or
It's a bit, yeah. Political subdivisions is what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah, those two accounts are not a part of my regular budget that's budgeted through Commissioner's Court. That's a different budget.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And the county commissioners, before we get started with that, since we have these agenda items and thought it'd be an appropriate time for us to discuss this sheet that I gave y'all earlier. Over the years, as these emergency services districts have been created, and former commissioners have passed away in office and things have changed before we got here, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to the way that the appointments are done. You know, on some of the ESDs, each member of the court, like on four, has one appointment, and some of the ESDs, they're all appointed. If they're located wholly within one precinct, then the commissioner may appoint all of them or all except one. On the drainage district, which is located wholly in precinct three, all of the appointments are by Commissioner Sinegal, and so I'm open to suggestions about how we might in the future make this more certain and for it to be uniform in the application. Not uniform in its application, but
in Drainage District 3, you said all of them were appointed by Commissioner.
Yeah, that's back. That's up on the top right.
Okay.
And then let's see. Now, on Drainage District 6.
In Drainage District 6, when I got here, basically it was stated that it was in the Beaumont area, and it was two commissioners and the judge appointed. And the senior, they had the rule in place, the senior commissioner received two appointees. That's why when I became the senior, it was after Ed Moore, it was two he had appointed under him, and I think you had one, and Commissioner Arnold had one. I'm looking at, Commissioner Arnold, nothing slight against you, but the ESDs that we just developed, those areas of the precinct that they're in, they serve the whole community in that area. And I think we need to make sure we take that into consideration when we appoint those boards.
Right, and I'm not trying to change anything on the agenda today, because I know that there's already been commitments made, and that I'm going to go forward knowing that we're going to apply this uniform.
Right, I understand. My deal is, okay, where I appoint all three people in Drainage District 3, I think if it's adjacent to a commissioner, but I think if my appointee in District 4, Emergency Service District 4, really is on the borderline between me and Commissioner Weaver. But my deal is to make sure the people that we appoint is responsive to that community. My previous appointee was a Commissioner Alford, which was totally across another precinct from me and Commissioner Weaver, where he was adjacent to this community. But I want to make sure people that respond. And bottom line is, you know, we should have representation from the precinct or near precinct inspection. That's just the opinion.
Yeah.
If everyone wants an appointment, District 3, it needs to make sense.
Yeah. I think what's in place makes sense, and what you said just makes sense. I think we need to look at and make sure that we have the lines drawn, and we know exactly where these precincts are, and if they're adjacent to or close to, you need to have it set up something like DD6 set up right now.
I hear what y'all are saying. If I had my way in magic wand, all of these appointees, especially for ESDs, would be elected and not appointed, but I don't have that kind of authority. It just makes sense to me, but the law states what it states. I don't really have a preference either way. You know, we've got bigger fish to fry, but, you know, if somebody wants an appointment out of my precinct so that it's evenly distributed through Commissioner's Court, that doesn't bother me one bit. I think everybody knows that in these ESDs and other things that the law states, you know, they got to be a resident within that taxing entity and so on and so forth. So we just follow that. But I don't really have a preference either way. It's whatever the wishes of the board.
I'd like to just say that ED6 1 and 3, 1 was established when I got here. And I think for the most part, it's Bevel Oaks. It's the Northwest Forest area, a little bit on Range Road. And I don't know that it goes into any other commissioner's precinct boundaries unless possibly yours, though, and I'm not sure.
I don't know.
The ESD3, which was established after I was elected, is the Nome and China primary area, and I think we discussed the boundaries on it, and there was no interest that I recall of anybody from the Commissioner's Court of desiring to put anybody from their areas on that particular ESD board. And quite frankly, it's been difficult to actually find volunteers who are willing to serve on the fiduciary responsibility. The District 4, when that one was, I guess, the last one that was set up, whenever it was established, there was some discussion of my recall, and that each commissioner and plus the judge was to get one. I actually submitted or deferred my appointment, since there was nobody in my precinct that was in service by ESD4, to Commissioner Weaver. And as of 2 weeks ago, he graciously gave it back or allowed me to appoint someone. I don't have anybody in my precinct that's a constituent, so I seek different folks than he had already talked to about it and selected one. As far as DD6 goes, this may or may not have been before my time, but I recall that I had two, Commissioner Alford had two, and the judge had one on that particular appointment, and that has changed since before I got elected. I think that would be a fair distribution. I think if we're going to do it, my preference is, I don't know a lot of people, residents in some of the other commissioners' precincts, and I don't know who'd be qualified and who wouldn't. So what I feel is that if it's the entire area, it was within a commissioner's precinct, that commissioner should be responsible for appointing those members. I have no problem with sharing it with somebody else, but I found it very difficult to reach out to another commissioner's precinct and find eligible people that I know who I feel that are worthy of being appointed to that. So it is kind of convoluted, and maybe we need to set more than just one standard. You know,
what I think is, you know, we have I-10, we have 73, we have 265. But a lot of time when these emergency service districts go into action with direct fall, fire, the person needs to be, I mean, it doesn't make sense when we live in North Johnson County. I mean, it's got to make sense for me. And that's why I'm saying, Commissioner Arnold, I don't have, other than what you brought up by Commissioner Alford and yourself and the judge, DD6, they just put that diversion ditch all the way through everybody's precinct, but we work together. But it makes sense that you and Commissioner Alford have, and along with the judge, because he should have a voice in each other, have the bulk of the appointees from that district, because that's where it originated. I mean, so I don't have a problem with what's on here. I mean, if someone does, you know, but I just think it needs to make sense that the person shouldn't have to come from China to put out a fire in Hampshire. I mean, I'm not saying that's what's happening now, but that's the logic I'm going on with my point is that they need to be able to respond. They have a record I-10 and I'm 73. I don't go out there. I go out there just to see you and my guys can help. But those guys put their lives on the line to make sure no one, no loss of life to get them to the hospital. So, I mean, it's just a quick one as far as to go.
I think along the lines of Commissioner Sandoval, I would say this. Now, most of the time, a lot of these guys probably don't respond. Their job is to make sure that the organization is running well. But I think that we need to make sure that everybody has a skin in the game. I would want to go in the precinct one to select somebody, but there is people that's asking to be on different boards. So we need to make sure that we're very kind, because it's tax dollars that these boards are overseeing. And that basically is an arm of us to a great degree. And we need to be, make sure that we are conscious about those tax dollars, how they are being spent, and who's managing. And that the whole community, wherever they're coming from, is, has a say in it, I know them. I think it's very important.
It'll be important.
Well, and that's what I was going back to with the ESDs. These ESDs, the law states they have to reside in that service area.
Correct.
That taxing area. So they're not necessarily responding to the fires. They're there as a governance. But
correct.
They have to live within that certain boundary.
Some of them are.
That's true, too. Wait a minute. January, the 2 years. It's not a 2 year appointment.
That's 2 years.
December.
Well, we would need it to be a 1 year term so that they stagger. Oh, the ESD one?
Item B should be 2016 and item A should be 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, item B is pretty popular for rescue. We need to file between John and our county commission, Jessica, and emergency services district, and the board of commission protection government. That's 2016 to be 2017.
Second judge, and
it's probably my fault, but my guy, Robert Borders, but I need the second floor for the emergency service district from the floor next year. Robert Borders, you know, he wasn't on the agenda, but he wasn't notified, and I know he dropped the ball. And so we'll need to get that on the next agenda.
He's not appointed. He was appointed. He was appointed 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. But I mean, we're really going to take him out of that office. He needs to be notified by whoever that secretary is, because he hasn't had any communication with him, which is my responsibility to let him know.
Judge Adam D., I'd like for you to explain the additional. I guess agreements that went on with all the counties, I mean, the district judges and JPs, constables, and all of that finalized. I did not see any final documents when they had approved the common area issues.
Yeah, they're attached to the order, but the confusion, there's a lot of confusion surrounding not only the law, but also the Attorney General's opinion interpreting the law and instructing on how it is to be applied across the state insofar as governmental buildings are concerned, and what the definition of premises of a court is. Basically, in the AG opinion, said that it's left up to the courts to define what the premises of their courtroom were, and said that they needed to determine what's essential to the operation of their court, and that would be the premises of the court. First, we are not, by this order, and I want to make this absolutely clear, we are not banning guns from all county facilities. There are certain facilities that do not have courts in them, such as service centers and so forth. Some of the outlying offices of the tax office where firearms under the newly passed law will still be allowed. The confusion that came into effect, particularly because of the architecture of our courthouse and the way it's designed as opposed to how other counties courthouses that are designed where they segregate their judicial functions from the clerical administrative functions that are performed primarily by other offices. Here, you know, we use the lobby area for arraignment. We use this area for jury and paneling and for numerous, and the courts use it for numerous other reasons. The halls, particularly on the second floor, are used for attorneys to discuss cases with their clients, to meet with CPS workers, meet with probation officers. Likewise, the third floor, the halls are used for the Court of Appeals and for meetings between the DA's office and parties and witnesses and so forth. So all of the judges got together and made findings of what areas were essential to those that the use of their courts. It has the effect, I will tell you, that while under the law, if it were not for the architecture of our courthouse, concealed carry permit holders would be allowed to bring their firearms down to, say, the first floor tax office. They would be allowed to bring it to the seventh floor auditor's office. They would be allowed to bring it to the fifth floor county engineer's office. However, because of the design of our courthouse, because of the way that our security was set up several years ago, way before anybody anticipated this law, and you know, you cannot get through security with a firearm to those areas without passing through areas that are essential to the functioning of the court. So it has the effect of keeping guns out of those three offices where they would be allowed, three or four offices, but it's not designed to do that. And as I said, other buildings of the county that do not have courts that whose functioning is not primarily judicial, the law will allow concealed carry permit holders to carry them either concealed or in a shoulder or belt holster. So that's
Dude, you said a, you said a whole lot, and I'm going to tell you what, our forefathers have combined this courthouse, thank you, Lord, because it is, to me, asinine to let people bring a gun in, you know, like a match to a gasoline. Sometimes, some common sense makes sense. Common sense. And I'll be honest with you, I hate the fact that I can let some, have somebody that come in my precinct and have a concealed, not a concealed, a carrying a gun. I hate that fact, to be perfectly honest with you. And I know I hadn't said anything, but I'm just tired of it. I done heard enough on it. And to me, it gets down to the core thing.
I wish that you'd think. One thing I had a discussion this morning, Commissioner Weaver, I don't want to skip your precinct, but I have a concern that concerning the facilities or major monetary transactions, you know, things get wonky. My extension of the services that we provide here will be covered for the court. And I think when you need to look at that real hard
as far as I knew it. So I'm walking in to take your monetary obligation that I have to the county. The guy said that with M16, and I don't know if he's done a lot. I just think that so we're going to be very careful with this deal of your business.
Well,
let's not overstep it and over.
Well, let me say this. You know, our first and foremost duty is public safety, and I've said that many, many times. And the minute that we lose the safety and security of our courts is when you lose everything, because that's when people, that's where people go to have justice rendered, to settle things, and we have our judges there to facilitate those matters, and it is the utmost importance that we make sure that those facilities are secure. With that being said, I hear what you're saying. However, the law says what it says, and we are just, there's nothing that we can do to prevent somebody from carrying a firearm into the Mid-County Tax Office. It doesn't fall underneath, at least to my knowledge, and I'll direct my question to County Attorney, it does not fall under the conditions that are set forth by the law to prohibit somebody from doing it. Whether we agree with it or disagree with it, it doesn't fall underneath those confines. So our job is to follow the law the best we can.
Well, I'm not obligated if we don't follow the law. I'm just saying we need to look at the security concerns.
Yeah.
Because if you have 20 people sitting there with M16s, 9mm, 40 caliber, and people paying taxes, so to raise a certain amount of if you say this tax off, that's what I was talking about. I mean, it's in this place, but this gets, I'd ask that you, it's going to cost the county, because I'm very, I won't go to record to say that we need to take that too.
And there,
people are not just walking in these places behind anger, behind court and child support. They're robbing banks.
But those are the bad people.
Yeah.
And so what I'm I understand. but what we're hoping is the individuals carrying firearms are going to be the law-abiding citizens. And so, you know, there's nothing that we can do to prevent or prohibit them without getting the county in a bind. And so we have to follow the law, and you know, I'm following what our county attorney, do you agree? I mean, that's we're just basically that does not.
The other thing that I neglected to mention is part of this order is that Chapter 46.035B of the Penal Code still makes it a felony to carry a weapon onto the premises of a correctional facility, and we do have a correctional facility here, and this is certainly part of the premises of it. So again, we're in that catch-22 where the sheriff and the district attorney are left not knowing whether someone who came in here with a pistol, whether they're committing a felony, if they are under this law, but under this law they have an argument that they're not, and so it appears to me to be a conflict of law issue that has not been resolved by the legislature and certainly needs to be resolved by the legislature. And I don't fault them. They probably didn't take into account that a lot of courthouses do have correctional facilities that are attached to them, particularly in the smaller counties.
But you know, Judge, I'll say this. You see how we've kicked this around for a good 30 minutes? That's how important it is to all citizens in our county, because there's women and children and girls for those locations, and we have to have the same compassion about everybody. And some people understand. Some people put something on their hip, and they all of a sudden, arm swaps. We hoping that people have common sense with it.
And there's parts that, you know, Commissioner Tenenbaum, I want to make sure that you and the rest of the court understand, Ms. Getz knows that if she has any concerns at that office, all she has to do is call or convene and ask for a workshop from Commissioner Ford, and we'll look at any kind of security. You know, personally, I feel like this is going to be a non-issue. You're not going to see people carrying guns on their hips all over the place. I think this is all a big hype It's no different than when the CHL came forward. Everybody was concerned about everybody's going to have guns on. So though I understand and appreciate the concern, I feel like that is a non-issue. But with all that being said, if Ms. Getz has a problem or sees a security concern, she knows the proper channels that she can follow to make sure that we can then look at that. But just realize once that door is open, then we start looking at everything, and then it just goes haywire. So,
Judge, I got a question. You've been very involved in this issue since the law first passed, and we've been discussing the accident implementation on the first of this year. What are the majority of the other counties that have similar situations that we do? Are they following the same pattern that we are, or do they have something else that they've done? Or how would you characterize the different counties that have similar situations that we do, and how are they implementing this law any differently?
I think I've read every email that Jim Allison has authored on the attack of judicial listserv. There are county judges all over the state that are writing in, asking for suggestions, asking how it's being dealt with. McLennan County and several of the other counties like us that have dealt with this issue have done exactly what we have done. There are a number of counties that are having workshops this week and next week that are discussing what to do. But almost all of them that I see plan on doing the same thing that we're doing, which I think is following the law. You know, I'm not real worried about concealed handgun licenses, because I am one. And, I don't think it's going to be a big issue. I think I've heard that discussions have been had with sheriffs in other states where open carry passed. And they said, you know, it was an issue for a couple of weeks, and the newness of it wore off, and everybody went back to conceal. I understand it's law, and we'll support the law and everything, but I frankly think it's silly. I openly carry a pistol when I'm at my deer camp with snakes and things of that nature, but when I'm here, I don't want anybody to know I have it. I want it in my pocket or somewhere else, or people don't know I have it. And so I think the law is kind of silly in that respect. I think it's foolish. If a bad guy comes into the room, he can immediately identify who's carrying it, and you know, you've lost your edge. So.
Well, I know it's a very controversial issue, and I see it from both perspectives. I feel that we should follow the law, the letter of the law that was passed, and I understand there's a lot of misunderstandings about some of the definitions of the way that the law was drafted. And I guess there will be no modifications to that until 2017 in the next legislative session. The AG has already ruled on it, and they basically said that they're following the law as well. And I guess the only thing that I have a concern with right now is the areas that are not covered under judicial or correctional areas that are in the courthouse. Should we attempt to find a way to have the public have access to those without going through security?
Well, there's not enough money in the security fee fund to place a whole nother set of officers over at the historical courthouse front entrance to allow concealed handgun carriers to go into the
first floor
tax office. And if we did, we'd have to block off the stairwells going up to the courts on the second floor, which would create a huge access problem. And with all due respect to the Attorney General, my suspicion is that if there is a court test of his opinion, that it's going to be, his opinion is going to be found to be wrong. And the reason I say that is because the highest court in Texas, the Texas Supreme Court, will not allow, and the clerk of the court just Friday said that no one is going to be allowed in that building, and there's nothing about the new law that is going to change. Nobody's coming in that building without a with a handgun, regardless of whether or not they've got a license, either concealed or open. And so the highest court in Texas is interpreting the law that way. I think we're pretty safe in interpreting it the same way. So,
yeah, I think as far as the courthouse goes, we're covered. You got detention facilities inside this courthouse. You actually have inmate movement that a lot of the public does not even know about that occurs in this building in designated locations. So, but these outlying buildings, they don't fall within the law, so they're not prohibited. So.
Any further discussion?
If by any chance in these outlying buildings, if we have security there and somebody come up to the door and they have a gun on their head, are you telling me that the person that's observing that security has to open that door or not?
If it does not fall within an exception to Chapter 30, Chapter 46 of the Penal Code, yeah.
I have a concern with that. I just want to make sure that, you know, I put it out there as such, because we do have some outlying areas, and we do have where there's ladies in there and men are gone, and even where we have constables in those areas. If it's just those people out there, I would always say caution. Be cautious first. And that's what this commission is saying. No matter what the law says, be cautious first.
I understand, but apparently from everything I'm hearing and everything I'm reading, it has not proven to be an issue in other states. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that it's not going to be an issue here.
And doing nothing as far as leaving it as the law provides is the issue that the judge and, I mean, the sheriff and DA has to do. Actually provide the security and abide by the law and to know whether to prosecute or arrest someone.
I think that's one issue, but the other issue is that the public needs to have notice under the law as to what parts of the premises are considered potential to function in the court. So you need to pass the order in order to provide the notice. That's necessary under the act.
And all the judges signed off on JPs. Okay.
Listen. And I know this law applies to the voting locations. Okay, what about the counting station, like on tabulation night and stuff? Will it apply to that location as well?
I need to go back and read those exceptions again. Do you, by any chance, know off the top of your head, Ms. Kennedy?
It applies to the voting location at the time.
We're actually tabulating.
Is that the location?
Well, it's not a voting location, but we're tabulating. That's where all the votes are counted.
They bring all the boxes to that one place.
Central
counting station.
But that's a JP quarter there.
That's the next building over.
That's the next
it's
building
not connected,
over.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Right. That was my question. I mean, that's the thing with the voters, we're not free to tabulate.
Yeah.
This question.
I think that's something that we could probably confirm or see if a counting station falls underneath that category.
I haven't looked at it before. I'll look at it again.
We'll look at it. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Under County Treasurer, we have one item A to receive and file investment schedule for December 2015, including year-to-date total earnings on county funds. We have a motion on that item.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Next Monday, January 18th, is county holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I think I saw that Mr. Ruff, you were planning on having something on the agenda for next Tuesday, weren't you?
Yes.
And so, is anybody going to be here? Is it an item?
Do you know about purchasing or anything? Are there any?
We can always.
Okay, well, we'll keep it a minimal agenda for next Tuesday, but anything that needs to be put on, we'll plan on meeting next Tuesday at 1:30 here at our temporary quarters. Hopefully very temporary, but it may be a little bit more lengthy than the 150 days we originally contracted for because of the discovery of termites throughout the bench of the commissioner's courtroom. So, commissioners, anything further? Please keep in mind that we're having primary elections March 1st, the last day that you can register to vote or change any information on your voter registration is February 1st. And so we certainly implore everyone to get out there and get registered to vote and participate in the electoral process.
Judge, I think we had one of our appointees present in the courtroom today. Randy Walston, representing ESD number 4 currently. You stand. Randy, we'd just like to recognize you and thank you for agreeing to serve in that capacity in the Emergency Services District number 4. And if you haven't already, the judge will be glad to swear you in after, immediately after court if you have
or
time.
Or swear at you. The only thing I've got against you is your family.
You're a better looking one, man.
Any of our appointees from ESD number 1 here? I didn't see anyone.
Okay.
That's all I had to say.
All right. If there's nothing further, then we are adjourned. Thank you.